stuff. We have so much stuff, we don't know what to do with it. That was some deep stuff, and I'm not quite sure how much to do with it. You know, I got to figure that out. I got to get into it a little bit more. There's all kinds of stuff, though, that's in our life, physical stuff. You think about it, you got the Christmas stuff up in the attic. You got that serving platter for Thanksgiving. Only time you use it, for that turkey, and that's up in that little cubby right above the fridge, you know, that you got to get the stepladder out of the other closet where all the junk is to get to. You've got stuff, you got the stuffing you put in the turkey, so there's some stuff. Maybe if you got enough room and enough patience, enough time, you can take a chicken and can stuff it inside of a duck, inside of a turkey, and you can have a turducken, right? So we got stuffing going kind of inception there. We've got so much stuff, and your wife might have so much stuff that now she has her stuff in her closet, and you have your stuff in your closet, so his and her stuff closets. We've got garages where we don't park our cars because we got too many cars, and we have too much stuff in our garage, so we have to park them out in the street. We got stuff in the shed, of course, the yard stuff. That's where that stuff should go, but where do you put all the kids' stuff, all the stuff that also fills up the yard, and you want to put that away, so you got to find a place for that stuff. So we get a storage unit for all the extra stuff that we have in our life. And you can see all the storage units going in. Where I live, they just put in a new storage unit, and it's completely packed out. Like, it's already booked full. You can't, you know, get a storage place there. They got RVs, and they got all parked all the RVs. So much so that they then, on the other side of the same road, they had to put another storage unit. They have so much stuff. America is just consumed by how much stuff. We don't even remember the amount of stuff that we put in these storage units. So every couple years, we have to go back and figure out, what was the padlock number? I can't remember what that code was. Where's the key for that? So I can find out what's actually in my storage unit where I have all my stuff. We have, for those who have maybe an RV or a second home or somewhere, a getaway or something like that, you've got to have two of everything, right? You can't just have your one stuff. You got to have two stuffs because you get there and you don't have the stuff you need. You needed to have that stuff, and you just don't have it, so you wind up buying two things. I know on deputation when I was a kid, parents, missionaries, so we went on deputation. We sold all of our stuff, which might be a little traumatic for some people to think about, you know, having to sell all their stuff. We sold it, gave it away, put a couple things into storage, heirloom kind of things, but then we all smashed ourselves into a small 30-foot trailer. So that's three kids between ages 9 and 11 years old, plus my parents, all in a 30-foot trailer. That was all our stuff. So you wound up with, you know, some clean clothes. You wound up with a place to lay your head. You needed a place to hook up, get electricity for the night, something for water, of course. And you might have had a book, right? But books are heavy, so you can't have too many books. You got to pull it behind the van there. So you had maybe a book, maybe a drawing pad, a pencils or something like that, and a good imagination. That's about what I had for stuff. And, you know, those are the things that we think about a lot of life is all the stuff, what we want. I mean, we have wish lists. You probably have an Amazon wish list right now with stuff on it. Stuff that if you could, you would buy. If somebody wanted to buy it for you, you'll send them the link. They can go shop for you, right? We have lots of stuff. And all the stuff, even, like I said, just a bed to lie on. This is the stuff that Jesus didn't even have. In Luke 9:58 says, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." And that's sort of the point of tonight's message. It's not very exegetical, I guess. It's going to be a little bit topical. I already told Brother Bryce, this is not the kind of sermon that you model any sermons off of. This is probably not going to get you great scores. But I hope that it will communicate a simple truth here. And so in Exodus chapter 36, I'm going to read one verse. For time's sake, I'm not going to get into the whole context. I might read a couple other verses around here. But Exodus chapter 36, verse 7 says, "For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much." And the context of this, and the word there clearly stated, for all the stuff, which kind of piqued my interest, is that they were building the tabernacle. And these people had a willing heart. If you go back to chapter 35, and actually pretty much all the way back to chapter 30, you'll read a bunch of context there that tells you that they had a plan, and they were building this, and it was God's plan, and they came ready and willing to aid and help God's work. And they brought so much stuff. That means the Israelites had so much stuff. They brought so much stuff that there was too much, and Moses had to be told, hey, tell them to stop bringing stuff. It's kind of like maybe, you know, when we have a garage sale or something and we tell everybody to bring all their stuff up here, but then there's too much stuff. We might have to tell people, hey, there's no more room in the church building to put all that stuff. So, you know, they were saying there's too much, and we don't need all this stuff. And so they were pretty focused on all this stuff, and recently, we too were a little focused on some stuff. And so it happened on a dark and stormy night. Well, actually, it wasn't a dark and stormy night. It was the middle of the day. It was cold, freezing cold, bright blue skies, and my phone rings. And my phone rings, and I see the caller ID, and it's Pastor Steve Foster. That's how he's in my phone, because I'm very organized with all my stuff, so I got everybody's name, first name, last name, all underneath there, and, well, it's Pastor, so it's Pastor Steve Foster there. And so I see that, and I answer it, "Hello, this is Daniel." And I don't really know why I do that. If you've ever gotten a phone call or you've ever called me and I pick up, it's usually always that expression, you know, "Hello, this is Daniel." I guess you didn't know who you were calling, and maybe that's the reason why. I know who you are, but I'm giving you a chance that maybe you're not really the person who's calling on it. And I have had that happen. You know, somebody will call me, and I've got it under the wife's number, and so then I just, you know, jump right in with, "Well, hey, brother." And it's like, "No, that's sister so-and-so." So I always answer it that way. And so he immediately, the first things come out of his mouth is, "Come quick." Right? And then the whole church is flooded. I'm thinking, okay, the sprinkler system has gone off. It's like something, like the pipes froze. You know, I'm aware of the time. It's freezing time. So maybe the pipes froze. And I'm thinking, like, the sprinkler system gone. Never dawned on me that maybe a pipe burst and, like, flooded the entire floor. And so I immediately, you know, basically hang up on the pastor because he was already kind of going on to the next thing. And I grab my shoes. I'm like hobbling out of the house. My wife is like, "What's going on? What's going on?" I'm like, "Just grab the broom. Get this. Get that. We got to go." And I'm thinking, all right, get in the truck. We're going to drive over there. I don't know. I was probably on a phone call or something even before that because I remember having to hang up. So I didn't even let the people know that I was going to call them back eventually. And so I get it in the truck, and as soon as I get out of the driveway, all of a sudden my flat tire little indicator goes, and I'm thinking, it's only 5 miles. I can get there. Like, it'll be all right. Like, I'll fill it up later. And then I'm halfway there, and I'm getting ready to pass the fire station, and I see the fire trucks pulling out, and they're on their way here. So I'm, like, following right behind them, hoping I can get through all the red lights without getting stopped. And they... just then, my gas light comes on, and I'm thinking, well, it's 1 mile around the corner. Surely I got an extra, you know, a little bit of fuel in the vehicle for that. And I get here, and literally there is a river of water just flowing out of the church. And so everybody knows the rest of the story and what's been dealing with for quite some time. And that was the day that I realized that just quite possibly the church has too much stuff, right? Maybe you knew this, too. We were moving all the things around, and there was just too much stuff. I would say junk, but, you know, it's stuff. It is stuff. We have junk at our houses. The church has some stuff. And it was like a war zone, you know, and just destroying everything, pulling everything out, pushing it all around. And for weeks, that's how we kind of, you know, went about church and services. And it is kind of a war zone because Pastor was fighting the good fight of working with insurance and adjusters and all of those things, and he's still working through all of those things. So keep him in your prayers with all of that. And, you know, then it was a matter of moving all this stuff. Right? If you didn't think you had a bunch of stuff, then you had to move it. And we didn't just move it once, but we had to move it like twice, sometimes three times, because, you know, you had to move all the stuff from upstairs, downstairs. Now, we just put that stuff up there in Christmas time, right? Like, let's remember, this is February, so we've already moved all Miss Andrea's stuff up there, and we brought it back down. And then somebody else hauled it away, and they put it in a warehouse because we have too much stuff, right? And I even asked the gal, I said, "Hey, how much would it cost you extra if you didn't bring it back and we didn't have to put it back up there?" And I was only half joking. But as we went along each week, it became kind of a running joke. "Do we have an extension cord? Where's the serving utensils? Is there a whole bunch around here?" And the answer was, we do, but it's in storage. All of our stuff was always in storage. And so, you know, I told Pastor, that's something we got to put on a T-shirt. You know, "Where's my stuff? It's in storage." That's where everything seemed to always be. And all the stuff we seem to need is inconveniently put away because it's in storage. And so back to the context of this passage, these people didn't have that problem. All their stuff wasn't in storage. See, when they left Egypt, the Egyptians provided them with all kinds of stuff. They were able to take the spoils of Egypt with them. And all of this provision was provided not by the Israelites. All this provision was provided not by the Egyptians. All of this provision was provided by God through the Egyptians to the Israelites. And I'm sure many of those Israelites were thinking, "Man, when I get to that promised land, I've got this nice piece of gold, I've got these rubies, I've got some extra special things, I've got beaver skin and badger skin and all these other different, you know, creatures and animals and fur, and I got so much stuff. And they're thinking of all the things that they could do with all their stuff, even as we often do. So from rags to riches, they're excited. And they never once thought about what maybe God was doing with all this stuff, what all the stuff served, what purpose it had. And so they had to wander a little bit. They had to go a couple laps to Sinai. They wound up having a couple people touch the mountain that they weren't supposed to touch and do some idolatry that they weren't supposed to be doing. They were doing a lot of things that they weren't supposed to do with all their stuff, and eventually God had to kill them, or he had to get rid of them, get their attention. And in the end, they recognized, oh, God has a plan and a purpose, and I need to be on board with that plan and purpose. And they got a willing heart. And they decided, well, I'm going to serve God with a willing heart, and I'm going to serve him in any capacity he needs. And so God said, well, I actually have need of you. I have need of your time. I have need of your talents. I also have need of your treasures, because we're going to build something great. We're going to build this tabernacle. And we see then that the people came. You can look there in Exodus chapter 35. You turn back a page. Exodus 35, verse 21 says, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation and for all his service and for the holy garments. So everybody who had a willing heart, they came, right? And then you see just a few verses over as well in 36, 5 through 6, it says, and they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. It became a dire situation. They were so willing, right? I don't think any church has ever said, you know, I just wish the people would stop bringing their tithes and offerings. I just wish they'd stop bringing their gifts and offerings. I wish they'd stop showing up on Saturdays to participate. I wish they'd stop doing all the things that the church needs done. You usually don't hear that amongst too many churches. But that's what the people were willing to do. They were so excited to serve God that they were willing to bring all their stuff and take all the time necessary to build something for God. So I'm not here to preach that we should stop giving. In fact, I'd say that, you know, quite the opposite. We should do more. But it can be a great thing to have a spirit like our church does have, to be so giving. I mean, we have all this stuff just like the Israelites have all their stuff, and we have contributed to all the stuff. So all the stuff that we didn't have, right? All the stuff that we go through each week thinking, well, where is it? And it's in storage. Thank God we have the abundance that we have. Thank God that you've been a willing participant in giving the church and giving of your things, to building of things for the church's purpose. It's a good thing. It's just like the Israelites. They had a willing heart just as you have a willing heart. And yet at the same time, we can think of it as an overwhelming sensation. Different churches, like I said, they'd be pretty happy to have all the abundance that we have, all the willing hearts that we have. And it's an overwhelming feeling to the pastor, I'm sure, and to those who are participating in ministries, to have people show up and be eager and volunteering. And sometimes maybe it's a little too much. And so they might say, well, hold on, let me get my feet underneath me. Let me get this task done. And so that's what Moses was feeling. And again, I don't think I have to tell you that all this stuff was, again, from God. So while we take a look at all the abundance, we need to take a look at just who gave it. And it does say that God gave all of this. It says that in chapter 35, but it also says in chapter 36, verse 1, then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded. God has called each of us to be here at this church in the sense of we are all members. I think willfully, nobody, you know, put your arm behind your back and made you become a member of this church. And so you're here because you want to participate. You have a willing heart. And God has equipped you with everything that you need in order to serve. Everything you need as far as knowledge and wisdom to serve in the ministries and capacities that you have, the willingness to give, he's giving you all the provision you need. And this is a theme that we see throughout the whole of the Bible. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. A lot of the stuff that we have isn't our need, it's our wants. We have stuff for all of our wants. And yet God just says simply that he'll provide all of our needs, and yet the riches of God's glory is that he also provides for many of our wants. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Again, in our main passage here, "For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much." God's abundance, his provision, is greater than all of those things. And so there's always a sufficiency in God's provision. God will always provide what we need. And this is what allows us then to get the giving principle under our belt, right? We give to get to give, right? It's not get to give, right? We don't just go inquire things for ourselves and then maybe we'll give something. We've been given so much. And then because we've been given so much in our desire to give to others, we will get more. And then that getting more will give us an opportunity to give more. And it's a continuous compounding effect there where God will give to and through us things that we can't imagine. And that's exactly what happened here with the Israelites, is they were given so much stuff, not by their doing, not by their good graces, not by their works, but by God working through third parties, working through Egypt, working through your employers, working through various people to give to you. And then it's our opportunity to give back to God. Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosoms. For with the same measure that ye meet with all, it shall be measured to you again." So God's abundant provision is always sufficient for our lives. It's always sufficient for our coworkers' lives. It's always sufficient for our friends' and families' lives. For our neighbors' lives. A complete stranger at the gas pump or the person standing behind you in the grocery line, God's provision is sufficient. A lot of times we use our excuses of why we don't give, why we don't do, why we don't put our talents, our time into God's use, and it's because we don't think it's really sufficient. Well, I don't have the right words. Moses earlier had a problem with this where he didn't think he'd have the right words to give, but God's grace is always sufficient. It's always good enough. His provision will always carry us through. And so it's our purpose, it's our intent, what we should be wanting, is to put our stuff to use. Just like when somebody asks, "Where's the stapler?" Right? And it says, "Well, it's in storage." Well, that's not very useful, right? That's all the way over there in storage. We want it to be in our hands. We want to be putting it to use. And so you have things in your life, you have the stuff of your life, and you want to put it to good use. And God expects you to put it to good use. In fact, if you don't, he even gave us a parable to remind us of what happens when we don't. And that is, of course, Luke's chapter 12, verse 16 through 21. "The rich fool said, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." All he was concerned about was his material stuff. All he was concerned about was the stuff of his temporary life. All he wanted to do was put all of this in his barns and build even bigger barns for himself, and he gave no consideration to the stuff of the kingdom of God. And that's what God then laughs at the fool. He says, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided?" Do you want the things that God has provided in your life, the things that are going to last beyond our lives? Or do you want the things that you've provided for yourself? And of course, God has provided all our abilities, and so we should be utilizing these to acknowledge God's provision and to thank God for them. Offering them up in thanksgiving, "God, what would you have me do with this stuff?" Because otherwise, it's like, I think it was recently preached by Brother Bryce on Haggai, it's being put into a bag with holes in it. All of our stuff, it doesn't seem to go as far as it needs to when we start selfishly utilizing it for ourselves and not for God's greater work. And so we need to not neglect doing these things, and we need to invest in eternity and the eternal things. I'm going to cut a couple things out here for time's sake. But our stuff, it's really God's stuff. And it's not just for our keeping. It's for serving. And so it brings me kind of to my last little point. And for that, I just want to point us to the Bible. Right. I said at the beginning, this is a little bit topical. We could find all of these verses and we can find supporting things for all the various stuff that we have going on in our life. But God's word is like a warehouse for all of our stuff. It's a big warehouse. It's a huge warehouse. It's a warehouse bigger than Costco, Walmart, Amazon, all combined. Right? It's got all the stuff that we need to live our Christian life. So when we say, where's promise for hope? Well, it's in storage. Where's examples of faith? Well, it's in storage. Where's mercy, grace, mourning, repentance, sanctification, holiness, goodness, kindness, friendship, giving? It's all in storage. It's all in here. Pastor likes to use the expression, you know, it's like Prego spaghetti sauce. It's all in there, right? It's all in storage. It's all in storage. And all we have to do is get it out. In fact, this incredible book, the Bible, is something we can study and study and study and seem to never exhaust. It seems like we never get to the end of it. But 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4 says, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature." We've been reading about this verse in Genesis class, but the key phrase I want to draw your attention to is that all things that pertain unto life and godliness is just as chapter 36, verse 7 of Exodus says, "For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much." God's goodness, God's word is almost too much to handle. It's too much for our lives. It's going to take a lifetime to study it, and we're still not going to fully understand who God is. We're going to get to heaven. We're still not going to quite understand all those things. It's okay. It's sufficient, though, for everything we need to do. And so all this stuff, it's not really about the material, right? It's not about the temporary. It's not the stuff that we have in our closets. It's not about the stuff that's in our neighbor's closet. Because sometimes you lend out your tools and things to neighbors, and they never bring them back, right? It's not about all those things. It's about the spiritual stuff, the stuff that's still in storage, the stuff that's in God's word, the stuff that's inside you in the sense of God's word has gotten into you. You're holding on to the tools now. Now you've become the storage house. And are we actually taking it out of storage and putting it to use? So how do we do that? Well, we grab God's word, the storage house. We break it open from time to time. That'd be a good idea. Not just leave it in the back seat of our car, collecting dust and sun until the next time we come back to church and we open it. But we actually read the stuff on a daily basis. We get the stuff that we need for our daily living, our daily devotions out of it. We hear the stuff being preached, not just one Sunday, not just a Sunday morning, not just Sunday evening, not just Wednesday. Maybe at a Bible study, we hear it as well. We study the stuff for ourselves, not just in Sunday school, but because we need to get something, just as our brother needed to get something out of God's word and then shared it with us, we have to get it out of storage. And we have to then put that stuff that we get, the stuff that we know, we have to get it and put it to work, right? It didn't do any good if it all just sat around. All that knowledge just sitting around is puffing us up. We have to put it to work. And so we need to utilize it everywhere we go. So if I could kind of conclude with a drawing statement, I guess, of remember that God's stuff, it's always sufficient. Whatever you're going through in life, it doesn't really matter. God's stuff, the Bible stuff, the stuff that's in our warehouse, in our storehouse of God's truth, his promises, his truth, his commandments, it's always sufficient for all the work that you have to do. Whether that's the practical work of day-to-day job or that's the spiritual work that we're called to do, it's always sufficient. And so let's use what God has given us to further his work in this world. And maybe the next time somebody says, "Where's promises? Where's hope? Where's faith? Where's all that stuff?" You won't have to say, "Well, it's in storage." You'll say, "Well, let me show you." And you'll show them the storehouse of God's truth. So with that, let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. And then we'll be dismissed on our way.